mercy, man. You don't need the thorax.
Oh, it's the thorax.
Well, that.
Once in the games, until he dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want you in the games until he dies playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games and More Entertainment Radio.
Welcome to Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 97. This is a very special episode. I'm C4, and I'm here with the dude from Postal.
That would be Kovar.
I had to say it because I forgot to last week. Somebody pointed out that you look just like the dude from the game Postal.
It was actually me.
Was it you that said something about it? Oh,
No. It was Zafan said something. I'm saying I was actually the guy in Postal.
Oh. All I know is I wasn't paying that close attention to IRC that day. And all I saw was this picture of you and this picture of the dude from Postal 2. It was too funny. That's, in fact, it's still sitting on my desktop. Postal dude. Yeah, I thought that was great. And I was demanded that I say something about it today. So it was demanded of me that I say something, which is 97. This is Games More Entertainment Radio. The website is hwhq.com. You can email us at c4.gameradio. That's gameradio@gmail.com. And if you want to join the IRC, which we don't record the show live or anything like that, you know, this isn't playing to you live. This isn't sitting on IRC talking with us while we're recording or anything like that. But there's people there all week long. And some of them really think they're stand-up comics, too. So it's a lot of fun. It's irc.oftc.net. And the channel is Gamer. That's the pound symbol, G-A-M-E-R. So you can find us there most of the time, actually, unless my stupid ass is at work or asleep, which it seems like I am an awful lot, so. But I am there for a good portion of the day. You're just lazy.
Am I?
Yes. You're there, but you're not there. You're, like, off doing something all the time, it seems like.
That would be the opposite of lazy, wouldn't it?
Well, you're not doing anything productive.
No.
You're like, I'm going to sit on the couch and watch some TV. Fuck you guys. All right. We will catch you later. Let's see. We will start out this week with the things that I missed, actually, from last week. I screwed up last week. We mentioned that Saw 2, the movie Saw.
Right.
A really creepy, scary one that I think kicks major ass and that wasn't quite your deal. Saw 2 comes out, and I wanted to mention when it came out, and I forgot to last episode, but it comes out on Halloween this year, which I think is a pretty cool date. That's probably, like, my favorite day of the year, so I think that was pretty neat. Saw 2 comes out. Hopefully I'll get to see that immediately upon release, because it's exciting shit.
Right.
Scary, creepy stuff. Now, we actually have a pile of email this week, so we're going to jump right into this, because
the proverbial fuck ton.
So, yeah, this is a lot. This is a whole pile here, and this is pretty cool, because it's about all kinds of cool stuff, too, and I know I'm going to screw this up an awful lot, because this is a lot of words that aren't my own. So, the first email we got, this is from Final Dragoon, who I actually see on IRC quite a bit. He says, hello, C4, Kobar, and any other random person you managed to grab into your studio. Still on Studio B, by the way. Studio A is being retarded, and we can't fucking make it record anything. Let's see. Final Dragoon here with my analysis on the cult hit, which none of you seem to understand. Yes, that being Katamari Damacy. Be warned, I will be repeating the same lines several times in this email. Number one, oh, this is cool. He broke it down by, like, exactly what was so great. Number one, the visuals. Yes, they aren't awe-inspiring. Hell of stuff on the N64 could probably look better, but that isn't what this game relies upon entirely. For me, at least, the graphics tend to imply that this world is just a bunch of Legos, and it works. You tell me, would you want Doom 3 style or level of graphics in a game where you roll up a bunch of junk into a ball? I think not. I think he's right, though. The graphics aren't very impressive in this, but you know they do fit the game.
Right.
They really do fit where it's kind of, I don't really know how to describe it, but yeah, it's pretty low-level crap. But it's decent for the game. Number two, the sound. J-pop. Need I say more? Okay, maybe I do. While it's true that the music in this game is odd at best, it's what to be expected from a, once again, game where you roll a bunch of junk into a ball. So take the music in stride and laugh at the various sound effects roar over your speakers each time you, each extra item you grab with each extra item. But, I don't know. You had real issues with the music, it seemed like.
It made my brain, like, spongy.
Like aspartame?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I don't like American pop, let alone Japanese pop.
Right.
The Japanese are weird people. And there's nothing wrong with
it's
that.
Just, no, it's just that it's different. Is what it's weird. It's different from the American culture of music. So
and
it's
so
weird to us.
It freaks with my head. I don't know what else to say about that. It just.
Now, I'll admit to having a bit of this in my music collection, but I don't listen to it very often. And if I do, I'm usually alone and probably drunk before it actually managed to make it onto my Winamp playlist. So I don't know. I don't think that fits too well in the game for me, though, but, you know, a lot of people do dig that. Number three, the story. Ignore it. The story doesn't have to make sense. Plot summary, the king of all cosmos knocks all the stars out of the sky after a massive night of drinking. Now you, as his son, must roll a bunch of junk into a ball in order to make all the stars and constellations again. So yeah, the story is not important. I remember that from before this came out. I remember reading about it, and I was just like, what the hell? So I didn't know what quite to think of it, but, you know, I'm looking for more of the gameplay anyway in something like this, which I would almost, you know, it's like a puzzle game. So... Mm-hmm. Story really isn't all that important to me. Number four, the gameplay. Original and good. One of you said on a previous show that just because a game is original doesn't automatically make it good. Well, in my opinion, the gameplay is near perfect, the controls and camera are solid, and scale nicely with the size of your ball. Overall, yes, it's original, it's a cult hit, and I enjoy every minute of the time I spend playing it. Sure, it may not be the end-all be-all of gaming, but once in a while, it's nice to get a breath of fresh air in the gaming world. So try to give this one another chance, guys. It isn't as bad as you make it sound to be. So I don't know. I still not quite. I don't know.
I really say more power to anybody who likes this.
Yeah, no, fantastic for you because it's supposed to be fantastic. I just don't see it.
Yeah, you're literally running around rolling stuff into a ball. I mean, I just don't get what it's all about.
Have you tried playing with the music turned off and something that you like playing?
No.
Like, music-wise? That usually helps me a lot in any game, really. I end up turning the music off after, like, the first, like, couple of hours of having any game. Because it's the same worthless crap over and over and over. And I turn on something I actually want to listen to. So that might help an awful lot, but I don't know. I don't know if it can save this game, but it really sounds like it's freaking taking the nation by storm. So,
yeah.
You know, who am I to say? But, of course, look at World of Warcraft. I still can't stand that, and that's, you know, a worldwide hit, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's like 8 million players now.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
crazy,
I'm sure it's
crap.
So absolutely freaking ridiculous. But I don't know. Katamari Damacy, did they release that out in Europe?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But I know it's made incredible sales over here. And it wasn't only $20 here when it came out. Yeah, I think so. That's why I ended up getting it. But I don't know. It's like, wow, I've heard so much about this game. $20, it's brand new. This can't be bad. And it's kind of, well, it's different.
Yeah.
So that only goes so far. It's got to be fun different, too. But, you know, I'm glad people out there can enjoy that because it's good. At least we have something different that people actually like to play.
An odd thing that I read somewhere in some magazine is that the guy that made it does not like video games.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know how he even got into the scene, but he doesn't like them.
How is it that there's people that love video games and can't get into making games, and then some random dude who doesn't like video games pulls it together somehow when the rest of us can't?
Well, he lives in Japan. Their development scene is probably quite a bit bigger than ours, I would think.
Yeah, I would imagine.
They pump out a lot of games.
Yeah, they
do. That country.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Like, it's a whole lot bigger thing over there anyway, so I'm sure that, you know, the few people I would know, if it was in Japan and I knew the same amount of people, I might know somebody connected in the industry anyway. So
yeah.
It was a hell of a good idea, though, and I'm glad it sold well for them, though. Better than I could do, I'm sure. So, moving on, we have another email here regarding a lot of stuff. And he spelled a lot right, and I'm really happy about that, because I correct people all fucking day. It's two fucking words. A lot. Not one word. I am the spelling Nazi on IRC. I'm sorry. I'm that guy that everybody bitches at, but it's this one word in particular that drives me insane. Because I have never seen Mrs. Four spell those words correctly. It's always one fucking word, and it drives me nuts. This is from Yenda. And see, dear Game Radio crew, I've been listening to your stuff since about episode 60, but never emailed you before. I'm a listener from Estonia, a small country in Eastern Europe. Your show is my only source of gaming news. Oh, Jesus Christ. I feel so bad now.
You're in trouble.
Yes, oh my. Now I feel like there's some kind of responsibility that we have now. We gotta pull it together. Seriously, honest to God. let's see. The bigger sites with their 9.5 best game ever ratings are untrustworthy, and from what I've seen, the smaller sites are a bit too opinionated. You guys at least say something along the lines of, if you like this sort of stuff. And you know what? I've never heard anybody say that before. To us. But it's been a conscious effort for a while to say that, you know, because unfortunately,
like we just did with Kaimari,
you know, right? There's there's people that do like that, and that's awesome. I'm so glad. You know, like I can't stand sports games at all. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's like that doesn't make Madden a bad game.
Yes, it does.
You know? Yeah, that's EA's fault.
I try.
The fact that I don't like sports games doesn't make Madden bad. The fact that EA sucks makes Madden bad. You know what I'm saying? But and it's funny though because I really like it's hard to talk about games that. I don't like, yet we attempt every, you know, to mention.
We try to attempt.
No, we end up thrashing it usually, but it's all in good fun, you know, and it sucks because I hate it when it's just like, well, you guys like every role-playing game no matter what. So, it's like, no, that's not the case, really, because
that's not true.
No, not at all. I mean, there's plenty that I can't stand, you know, but it's like, you know, I can see what people would think that, though. You know, it's never been said to us, but I'm sure it happens, you know, and it's just like, well, everybody has their own opinion, and everybody, you know, feels one way about, you know, certain type of game. So.
Like I've said before, this is an opinion show.
It has to be.
We're
people.
We're not big enough or connected enough to be a solid news show. And I think that's why people like us. I mean, there's plenty of places out there that's solid news, like the big places and whatnot, and that's just not our niche.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I've thought about it. Like, have you ever considered, like, you know, maybe I could just sit down and just do game news on the site all day, and then, like, within 20 minutes, you're overwhelmed with stuff that you could possibly fucking write about. And it's just like, okay, bad idea. We're going back to just doing the show and posting nothing on the site because nobody reads anyway. That's what I've actually been through that before, and it's no fun. It's not where it's at. This is, I think, a lot more fun, you know, and it was unique until podcasting came out. There wasn't very many people that did this kind of thing, but you know what? That's fine, because they're on episode 12. We're on 90-some.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's see. Here are my thoughts about some subjects that you covered on the show. Oh, and one more thing. That's fucking awesome to get an email from Estonia, by the way. That is fucking dope.
Isn't that like a country that gets put in comedy movies all the time?
Probably. It sounds familiar from like a comedy movie. Let's see. Number one, regarding evil communist / terrorist / oppressor Jack Thompson. And what show is complete without talking about terrorist Jackie Thompson?
That's right.
If you haven't checked out, www.vgcats.com/jack.php. VGCats is a comic, in case anybody didn't know. You should. It's an email conversation caused by a reply to the Killer 7 email between the author of VGCats, an online comic about video games, oh, I didn't know, he explained, and terrorist Jack. And if it's true, which I think it is, it really shows what Tarot Jack is all about. Listening to your coverage about, I can't even pronounce this right, I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher this so bad, it's German. Go right ahead, try it.
Herr Taro Führer?
Thompson and Newsreel gives me a bad image about America in general. I think that your boys upstairs should at least try to keep the image up. Instead, they try to over-police their people and the people of other countries. But since this is gaming, it is a gaming, more entertainment show, I'll stop with the politics. But you know, there is a lot to be said right there, especially that last paragraph, because I know we do try to keep it focused on games and stuff, you know, whether it's games in the news, like terrorist Jackie Thompson stuff, or whether it's just reviews and movies and music and whatever, it's more about having fun, and I know if we ever got all political about anything, it would be me screaming, and I'd be pissed off all the time, and it's come across, like, I've seriously thought about this an awful lot, especially, like, in the last, like, 2 months, that just for fun, once or twice, you know, just throw down a different show, just not in place of this, just, hey, we got some spare time, and there's some things that need to be said, and that, you know, might be kind of fun for people to listen to, that talked about, you know, real politics and crap in America and stuff like that.
There is a lot of crap going on.
There is, and it's, you know what, every single morning, I'm glad he mentions Newsreel, because, goddammit, every single morning I sit and listen to Newsreel, you know, at work, and I get all worked up, and I start pacing back and forth, and I'm thinking like 100 miles an hour, and I'm just thinking to myself, we should do a show, not obviously once every day like that, and maybe not even once a week, but just every so often, it would just be fun to just go off and let it fly, and I think that'd be kind of fun. It'll probably never happen, but it's been in my mind an awful lot lately. But with so little time for even this.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Hopefully, sooner or later, that'll all, like, iron out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have a little more time.
Right now, I've got half my week available, and it makes time really, really precious, and so, unfortunately, you know, that's just how it has to be for the show.
We could start calling you C4 the fucking man.
Yeah. I'll just start screaming in the microphone and make all these good points and stuff and, like, actually have a show format and notes. That can never happen. So, but let's see. Number two, regarding Katamari Damacy, which is spelled hella weird. Maybe they did release it in different countries and they spelled it different, though. Damacy, maybe? Maybe I'm just pronouncing it wrong and he spelled it that way so that I would pronounce it correctly. I'm a PC gamer, and I haven't played Katamari. However, I have acquired the soundtrack to it, and I must say that the wacky Japanese music is sweet. In my book, you can't go wrong with medieval choir music performed with synthesizer wah sounds.
Yes, you can.
Well, you know, if this is... Okay, now this is a good point to me, because I have probably the strangest taste in music.
Mm-hmm.
I like a little bit of everything, minus country. Seriously?
There's even a couple country songs
that aren't
put about
bad.
That I actually enjoy.
You know, I wouldn't go so far as... Well, maybe I would say enjoy. Maybe one or two. Out of the whole lot of them, there's probably one or two I can definitely tolerate and I don't mind. But what's weird, like, I run into people all the time. You know, you say... You talk about music with people and they say, oh, I love that band. And for some reason in my head, that doesn't quite register right with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always think of it on a per-song basis.
Right.
I think... Okay, like in my eyes, right? Like, honest to God, like, okay, Nirvana is a fantastic band. That's because there's not a damn song that I don't like, you know? But, like, if you, like, something else, like, okay, Nine Inch Nails. I own every single CD that Trent has ever fucking put out, and I can't stand him. Now, I don't like his music anymore. You know, it's weird. It's different. It's a lot different, and I don't like it now. Yet, I love a lot of his shit. So when I talk to people, they're like, oh, Nine Inch Nails the shit. I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. 5 years ago, I'd have said that. But, you know, it's weird, because I have all these random songs and shit, and somebody jumped me on IRC yesterday for somebody else I was listening to, and I was like, fucking A, you know? Don't you have some kind of music you listen to? I don't like what you listen to, and I don't go seek you out and tell you it sucks. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, to each his own here, especially
right.
with something like our taste in video games, somebody's taste in music, especially.
Most definitely. Taste is a per-person thing.
It really, really is.
I can rip on something... But it should be known that it's because I don't like it. It doesn't
exactly.
mean that I'm going to look down on anybody for
right,
enjoying
but people forget that. People think, oh, well, you like that band, you suck. And I hear things that, to me, sound ridiculous, and I don't understand. I'll hear people like, okay, I'll be at work playing Marilyn Manson, and somebody will always say something to me about it every single time. I don't listen to Marilyn Manson. I don't like the way that guy looks. And I stop and I think to myself, what the fuck does that have to do with the sound of the music? Do you like the song? Well, I've never listened to it, but the guy's a freak.
Oh.
So to me, it's like, dude, that makes no fucking sense.
No, I happen to not like Marilyn Manson's music, but it has nothing
That's
to do
fine.
With...
That's fine. Your sentence ended with, I don't like his music,
yeah.
not, I don't listen to him, and I hate him because I think he looks like a freak. What the fuck does that have to do with the sound of any particular track?
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
I don't like what this band wore that week. You know, this is like what I'm hearing, and I'm like, okay, how does that fuck... You know, this band isn't played on MTV. Holy Christ, they must be terrible. You know, it's weird. I don't know why, but this has been an issue with me
because
for the last
Viacom
couple of weeks.
Decided that
so,
they're not...
Yeah, Clear Channel. Our friends, yes.
I thought it was Viacom.
They probably own them, or it's probably a subset of one of the two.
Yeah, it's the same as like Nickelodeon and something else.
I don't know. Anyway. It's fucking terrible, whatever it is, but I that really bothers me. It really drives me insane when somebody I will sit there will tell me they do not like music... Because of something not related to the music. That blows my mind. It really shocks me, and I don't understand why somebody would be like that.
There's a lot of superficial crap in the world.
Well, it's been a big topic with me lately, because in the last month or two, I've been listening to, I don't even know what the hell kind of music to call it, but there's a lot of different music that I normally don't like. Mm-hmm. And honest to God, I've found, you know, maybe 4 or 5 tracks out of, like, 4 or 5 CDs that I actually like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, As I Lay Dying, Killswitch Engage, and Bleeding Through. Bands that I would never normally listen to because I don't like that style of music. But I was...
It's a screaming stuff?
Yeah, yeah, that's... Blah, 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 blah. Can't fucking make out any words. And it's like, dude, this is garbage. But you know, I've had no choice in the matter, actually, at some point in time, quite a few times lately, where I had to listen to some of this stuff. And it's just like, wow, I'll find a good song in there, too. And it's like, I can't say I like the band or not, but, you know, hey, whatever. I like the song.
Right.
So it's just been a really weird topic for me lately that, you know, these people will not like music because of the way somebody dresses or the way, you know, what country somebody's from or whatever. And I'm just like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? Half the music I listen to is like from Germany anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, I thought it was really weird. And wow, we went pretty far off of our email topic here. All right. Number three, regarding broken controllers. I haven't broken any controllers out of frustration, at least yet so far. But out of sheer use and a contribution by eating while using the computer, I have caused a spacebar to not work, a middle wheel on a mouse not to work, and a keyboard that constantly sends out that the G key is being pressed out. No amount of taking them apart and cleaning has returned their functionality. I also have bad luck with earphones. The phones themselves have no problems, but the harness that keeps them around the head seems to wear easily when I use them. Anyway, keep up the good work. Yenda. That's weird.
Huh. I have never had a problem with a keyboard. I've had to replace a keyboard once, and that's because I was a jackass and spilt something on it.
No. See, the keyboard I have right here, no Windows key, people. This thing is old school, 1991.
Yeah, I've bought two keyboards in my entire life. The first one was because I was getting serious carpal tunnel and switched to a Wave.
Oh, right, that ergonomic split crap.
And then the second one was maybe a year ago because I was a jackass and spilt on the first Wave I bought.
Ugh.
That's the only time I have ever, and I've been using keyboards for.
And I assure you that I eat every single day over my keyboard and spill ice cream, beer, vodka, soda, juice, pasta, fast food, everything on my keyboards, and they don't stop working. It's nuts. I do have to clean them about once a year, though. You get some nice cruft in there after a year, too. It's some scary shit. But there might be something to the way that... I mean, think about it. If you're Logitech, and you've got an $80 keyboard that you put out, right? And it's quality. How are you going to continue your sales?
Yeah, I am actually, honestly convinced that lately, maybe in the last 3 or 4, maybe 5 years... computer part manufacturers have started to, like, make them so after a few years they break down.
Exactly. That's what I think, too. Honest to God, look at all these cheap-ass ghetto keyboards that we have now. The mice fall apart like crazy.
I think they're doing it on purpose.
I really do, too. Although I must say, I have a really nice mouse from Logitech. It's like a MX530 or something, whatever the hell it is, 510 or something, whatever the hell it is. And it's been pretty good so far, and I beat the piss out of it.
I've been thinking about getting one of those quote-unquote gamer mouses. Ones with all the extra buttons and stuff?
Until I started playing EverQuest 2, I used a regular two-button mouse with a wheel and a scroll. That's all I needed. Mm-hmm. That little special edition dual optical Logitech one lasted me forever, and it was the greatest mouse ever. And I switched to this simply for the one. It's got like 5 extra buttons. I only use one. It's for Ventrilo.
Right.
That's the only reason I went with that. So it's a lot heavier, too. It took a lot of getting used to. But you know what? It took some serious punishment, too.
I bet if you set it up right, it'd be pretty sweet for an FPS.
Yeah, I bet it would be. What sucks, though, is I couldn't map some of the keys I wanted to the keys I wanted in EverQuest. It wouldn't let you.
Yeah, so, but I imagine that's part of their third-party program safety, because...
I didn't install the Logitech stuff, and it worked better. When I had their software installed, I was, like, more limited on my functionality. When I didn't install that stupid mouseware...
Just in general, or in EverQuest?
In everything. I was still able to do more, because if you install the mouseware stuff, they give you, like, scroll one line, scroll three lines, you know... It wasn't like run this program or do like I want a button to launch Firefox, goddammit.
Right.
You know, why can't I have that? Why can't I have a button that fires up Winamp? You know, stuff that I constantly find myself shutting down for some dumb reason, then go, oh, I need to fire this up again. But you can't do that. There's no option to launch program in their little thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's really gay, so.
But I bet that would freak out when you were playing games and using those buttons for something else.
Well,
all of a sudden, it like
tries to launch Winamp and shoot your rocket launcher.
It minimizes your game because it's launching Winamp or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you could turn it off and whatever. Right. I see better software than what they have, and they're on version like 10.5 or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, I remember when I was using version like 3.something of your shit, you know, back years and years and years ago, and you guys haven't come anywhere. It's still the same software.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of mad at them. They like add new drivers, and that's about it. You know, it's stupid. Now, we have another email from Loritz. He actually hangs out on IRC with us once in a while. Hey, C4 Cobar, and of course, the poor neglected Hooks, who is supposed to be here today, but never got his tire fixed last week because he got a flat tire on his way here.
Never did it?
He didn't. It's not his car. It's his girlfriend's car. So, yeah, they're doing that today, and because we have... This is, like, the least amount of time we've ever had to squeeze the show in before...
It gets worse and worse every week.
I know. Pretty soon I'm going to call you and be like, dude, we have an hour and a half. Let's go. Move it now. let's see. I wanted to give you guys a heads up on a few things. First, I have a movie review that I'll get out of the way, but it's short and to the point. Oh, check it out. I just saw Stealth, and it was against my will. Now, I've talked a little shit about Stealth because it looked so terrible in the trailer.
I don't know about that, though.
Well, I saw the trailer in the theater after I saw the trailer at home, and it looked a lot better. It was a different trailer, though, too. Mm-hmm. I will say this because I saw the previews and it looked like complete crap, very predictable. However, I must say that this movie was pretty enjoyable. Since this movie just came out, I won't go into details because I don't want to spoil it in case you actually watch it. However, you have to pretty much forget everything you saw in the preview. It was pretty misleading. Huh.
Okay.
Good job then on your preview, guys. Thanks for telling us what the hell the movie's about. I heard you guys mention this movie a few weeks ago, and we shared the same feeling on how much this movie was going to suck. However, I hope I can persuade you to watch it. Now, while it is a good movie, it doesn't quite cut it as a movie that I'd be able to watch more than once, which may also qualify it for waiting to come out on DVD, because we all know C4 only goes to the movies when there is a harvest moon. Final judgment, $5 out of $8.25.
Solid. That's
he says
rental.
Rent it. That's what he says. $5 out of $8.25, rent it. And that's pretty much what I see happening with me and Stealth. I do not see this as a theater movie. You know what? I've been trying to get myself to go out to go see Wedding Crashers, like you said. Mm-hmm. However,
you should have gone that one week.
Okay, but check it out. I've already seen Batman and The Devil's Rejects in the theater this year. So I've
You're already on your past your quota.
Exactly. So I don't know. I had to. I was this close to going last week when I was out of town, but I managed to avoid that, so I didn't feel very good actually at the time, so I didn't go, but I almost went and saw it. I wanted to. I bet it's funny though, but God, that's a lot of money I'm pissing away at the theater all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I don't like giving them that much money. I don't. Alright, now on to better stuff. I've just come across an amazing game that I thought you guys may be interested in, except Hooks, warning, game contains fantasy elements. Nice. Let's see, I'm not sure if you ever tried out Savage. Oh, that was the name of this game. I've been trying to think of that for the last couple weeks. Tried out Savage, Battle of Newerth.
I have actually never heard of it.
I have played it, but I won the grand prize. Whoa, what the fuck? But I won the grand prize at the Independent Games Festival in 2004. Whoa. The game was innovative, combining the first-person shooter and real-time strategy games into one one game. The great thing about this game was that it was pretty much completely created by a small team of 7 people.
Nice.
Holy crap. I did not know that.
These days, I really like that kind of
shit. Yeah, me too. That says a lot. That says an awful lot. And you know what? The game was actually pretty fun. It really was. Like, you played as a dude on the battlefield in a real-time strategy game. So you had, like, one player would, like, build your forts while you would have to go get, like, golden shit or whatever and then go fight. And it was really cool, though. It was really cool. It was a little buggy, though, was my issue with it. It was, like, well, more than a little. It had some serious issues, at least when I played it, whatever, but it was a lot of fun. Now, that game is old news, but here's the newsflash. A self-funded team of 3 developing PC and potentially Xbox 360 game in apartment. That's right, 3 guys who worked on Savage have put together an amazing engine and are working on a game that is currently codenamed as Project Offset.
No shit, that's 3 people?
I guess.
Nuh-uh.
No, there's, yeah, it can't no. be. It's gotta be like 3 groups of people or something. Wait, self-funded team of 3 developing PC games. Huh. The game's focus is to be one of the first full-on fantasy first-person shooter games for the PC, and they are looking to gain support to port the game to a next-gen console. You can check out more information at their website, which is projectoffset.com.
If that engine was coded by 3 people...
No.
They are like... the uberest crazy motherfuckers known to man.
Jesus Christ.
Because I just saw... C4 just showed me a video for this, and I was like, I don't even know what to say about it.
I know. Wait, hold on. Check this out. Be sure to check out the 2 demo videos and couple of screenshots. Most of the images that you will see are in-game, real-time graphics, and they are amazing. Now, I don't remember if I actually wrote anything down. Oh, I know I did. I did. We had, actually, quite a bit of little notes on this, actually. They have, There was 2 videos on the site. I didn't see the screenshots, but because the video blew my freaking mind.
And the screenshots are probably stills from the video.
Oh, probably. I didn't even think about that. Probably. But I'll tell you what, this game, if you haven't seen this game, and you like playing RPG games at all, you have to check this out. This game really, really is impressive. It's so impressive that, like, it would bend over your computer right now and make it its bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
even
just,
if you had a really solid,
I don't care what kind of 7800 Ultra GTX Mega Super whatever, it's not going to cut the mustard with this game, I don't think. It looks that good. Now, graphics
aside, three people?
That can't be right. That can't be right. I'll have to, like, go back on the site. I'm sure it says something about how many people are working on this. Like, it can't be three people. There's no way.
No, there is no way. Go check this out. And who sent this?
Project Offset? Yeah, Lourdes.
Maybe three of the people who did work on that game are on the team.
That very well could be.
But there's no way that this game is being made by three people.
It sounds like it's three dudes living in an apartment making this game is what it sounds like.
That just can't be.
I know. There's no way. And if it is, fucking A. You guys are gods. Yeah. I will retract all the good I have said about Mr. Carmack and crew.
Because he loses it all.
Because he might just come in second place for once. Right. Right. this game, so if you don't know, we're just going nuts over it. This is serious, like, when I saw this, I was like, this is serious next-gen hype kind of stuff, though. I was just like, oh, this is way too good to be true. They're showing us graphics. This can't be that good. But, you know,
some of the game features sound like it's going to be a really fun game.
It really does. And, you know, I was impressed when I read about what they were going to do with it, because I really, it's supposed to be a first-person shooter style, at least gameplay style, RPG.
Right.
So, kind of think like Morrowind was kind of first-person shooter style. You know, at least it was first-person camera view, but this has first-person controls and everything.
Right.
This is supposed to play like a first-person shooter, but it's all fantasied out, which, to me, is the shit.
Hell yes.
That's what I want. Now, what little we do know about this, which you can find at their website, projectoffset.com, you actually get to pick a character class, even. There's like five different characters so far. They've got warrior, a marksman, a healer, a builder, and a wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But those are like broken up by like races, too. Like a warrior is like a human warrior dude.
Right.
The builders are like dwarf builders, right? So like, I don't know. I don't think you can like pick a race in a class. It looks like you have like those five dudes to pick from or whatever, right? It's got a really nice single-player game, but it also has a multiplayer game,
mm-hmm.
which I found very interesting because I assumed that this was a first single-player first-person shooter RPG type. I assumed. But then I got to reading and looking into it more, and it turns out that there's a lot of multiplayer stuff they put in this too. Between 8 to 64 players, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Right? And it's good versus evil sides. Mm-hmm. And it's medieval style, so, you know, immediately my brain jumps to go think about stuff like Battlefield, where I'm like, oh, yeah, you're going to have, you know, it's going to be just like that, but there's going to be no crazy vehicles or whatever, and they're going to have all these weird jobs, and it's just not going to flow really well. You know what, though? In a role-playing game, the type of player that plays a role-playing game is a little bit more team-based than a lot of these first-person shooter guys that are used to playing crap like Quake all day by themselves.
Right.
You know, a little bit less teamwork involved, right?
That's the problem I have with FPS multiplayer, because they're trying to do some really sick shit with FPS multiplayer. Battlefield, they have all...
Does some really amazing stuff.
There are some elements to these new FPS multiplayers that would be so sick
if
there was a single player out there that actually did it.
Exactly. That's the problem there is with Battlefield 2. They set up this really nice communication structure.
That game looks like it would be absolutely the shit.
Not very many people adhere to it. Only like tournament player type guys.
Yeah.
You know, but like, you know, they need to find a game where your average player can jump in and be something. Be part of something and know his rank and follow it. Too. The mm-hmm. problem is you can't make the player follow the rules. You can't make them do what they're supposed to do. But there's got to be something they can do to kind of railroad them into that, though. Maybe, like, unless you get five kills in that map, you're stuck at the base defending.
Right.
You know, something like that would really make players go, oh, shit, I got to kill dudes right away. I got to get out. I got to get out and kill some people. I'm stuck here for five more kills. Shit. Hey, you'd have to learn cooperation. Imagine that. It's a team-based game. Anyway, this, imagine you're on the good side in your castle, and you're going up against the evil side, you know, 32-32 player map. And it's basically a kill all that other team. But there's objectives, too. Like, you have to defend your castle. The evil side has to take down, say, the front gates of your castle to win.
Mm-hmm.
They have to break that down to get into your castle to win. That's like an objective of theirs. And there's side objective, too. Other little things that they want you to do where it's not required to win, but you get, like, you would get something if you do it, you know? And, I mean, they have things like catapults in this game, too. They have
right.
things like, they have actual kind of vehicles, too. It's creatures, though. It's all medieval style, right?
Right.
So you don't have tanks and helicopters and shit, but you have dragons. You have creatures that you can ride and siege weapons that you can drive around and
it
shit.
It sounds sick. And that objective
well, I'm not a drive thing, around, but
right. The objective thing sounds like a really good idea to make people play their role, because if you have an objective that requires a builder to build,
yeah, you're going to find a builder or you're going to be one. Right. You're going to go out and do that shit, which I like, because you know, this act tying back into Battlefield 2, which I haven't played in a long time, and I'm so pissed because it was pretty fun. And it still is fun, I haven't played it. I wound up getting involved in playing as the Special Forces character for a while, right? Now, I would say on a pure point basis, I have the highest scores when I play as a medic. Mm-hmm. But then one day I discovered I can blow shit up as the Special Forces guy. You have C4.
Right.
Something about having C4 appealed to me, so...
I wonder what that is.
I can't imagine. So just about the time the game went retail... Maybe like 3 or 4 days after the game went retail, I played nothing but Special Forces, it seemed like. It seems like that's all I played anymore. And it was because I had missions to do. I lost getting involved in killing people and for points and stopping them.
Right.
I got involved in, can I blow up their base? Can I take out their radar station? Can I blow up their artillery all the time? And that's, like, I suck at the game. Like, if you look at my score, I'm shit, but I have so much fun. Because I'm out there hiding out, I'm trying to sneak around and shit, you know, and I'll see him go repair the shit, try to kill the guy, I blow up the radar again, he'll come out to repair it, he knows I'm there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot more fun to me than just like the regular game, I guess, where you're just running around killing random people. So, you know, something like that really could work really well in this, if you have a bunch of little missions and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it sounds really, really cool, though. You set up a, like a war with another team. So you don't just have, like, a battle. You don't just, like, you know, play, okay, this is the next map, we're going to play this map. You say, our team and your team, we're in the middle of a war, the good versus evil side, and it's, like, a couple of maps, and it's going to, you know, figure out who wins based on that,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is kind of cool. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, there's going to be some surprises in there. It's not going to just be like, okay, well, here's this map, and, you know, whoever wins, whatever, that's 1 point. So here's another map, whoever wins, that's 1 point, and then 4 points you win, or, you know, best 3 out of 5 or whatever. It'd be nice to see, like, if you are on the good side, assuming they're holding the castle and you lose, the next map is determined by the fact that you lost, so it pushes you back further into a map where you have, you know, like, a harder time trying to defend yourself, you know, like, back further into your kingdom, say.
Right.
But if you win, you're able to push the bad guys back a little bit more. Maybe you, the next fight is off in the forest where they have an advantage or whatever because it's their territory or whatever the case, you know?
Right.
Something like that would be really, really nice to see in this. And I did see on the website for this that they did mention that they were, you know, eyeballing the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 for this, although at this point in time, none of that is locked down or secured or anything beyond just something they would like to see.
But it is on the computer.
It is on the PC right now for, yeah, Windows, yeah. So, well, not right now. This game's going to be a while off, it looks like.
It
but
looks
Jesus
like.
Christ.
But a lot of this game, although it's too far away to tell for sure, but this looks like it could be really awesome.
It really does. Like, you know what? Oblivion, look out. You know? Because Oblivion looks fantastic, but I've heard more about this game than I have Oblivion now.
And Oblivion's, like, almost out. It's, like,
yeah.
a few months, isn't
it? Yeah, it's pretty soon, and I haven't heard... fuck all on it, really. Other than a couple screenshots that look amazing. So what? They look great. This is going to have a single-player element and a kick-ass multiplayer element.
Mm-hmm.
Can you deal with that? Gee, I actually grabbed the notes, thought we were in the middle of the show. We're still stuck on the email here.
Sorry, Lawrence.
No, that's awesome, because we had it written down anyway to talk about. So that worked out really well. Also, in closing, EA made for something I found amusing. New York Times has reported that out of the 26 games that EA plans to release before the end of 2005, okay, 26 games, right?
Uh-huh.
25 are sequels or continuations of the previous franchises.
Nice.
For more, please check out the story at the NY Times. It's some huge monster link that I'm going to have to put on the site or something like that, but I'm sure if you have the New York Times website, you shall see it there. I'm going to have to hold on to this link.
Way to go for some originality, EA.
You know, yeah, there you go. 25 out of 26. Same old, same old. Good job. Now, we have a Dungeon Siege 2 comment from Zayfan.
Okay.
And he says, let's see, after playing Dungeon Siege 2, I'm going to leave out what he wrote in parentheses there. For a couple of hours, I found one very odd thing displayed on the minimap. Usable objects within the game, like doors and shit.
Right.
Were dotted with blue on the map. I later discovered that this marker also applied to so-called secret objects, like a slightly ajar brick that you could push into the wall to reveal a secret room with various goodies. I guess I'm complaining about nothing really, but I'm sure it would spoil the game for some to know that the oh-so-secret locations were being displayed quite apparently on the minimap, defying the 100% bragging rights that someone like Cushion may have. Now, there's a very good point here, because I don't like that at all. Because the thing that comes to mind every time I hear about secrets being given away, they're not secrets anymore.
Right.
They're not secrets. Okay? And the very first game, and I must have read it somewhere that made me think about this and made me put it together or something. But I think of A Link to the Past.
Mm-hmm.
I think of the, you know, the Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, on fucking Super Nintendo and on the SNES, where, yeah, it would show the cracks in the walls and you would see like a different colored block or whatever, and you would know that that's what you had to do. The pussification of the video game. I don't like the idea, because I remember being so fucking hardcore into The Legend of Zelda. We're talking the original one.
Right.
On the Nintendo. Where you would spend an entire day after school burning bushes. You would spend an entire day bombing everywhere you could in the wall. Right? And you would load your game up and you would go buy those, you know, 20 bombs that you could hold, whatever. And you would save your game. And then you would bomb the crap out of one screen. Load your game. And then you would go to the next screen and bomb everything you could bomb, and then load your game. And it would take you all day long. But you might be able to get, you know, 20 or 30 screens done before you were tired of it. And it would take you like a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
But you knew every little secret there, and you looked for it, though. You tried. And it was fat. And it didn't take away from the gameplay. I felt it added, because it really felt like I was out on an adventure, and that I was just there to do whatever and find whatever I could find. And I wanted to search for those kind of things.
Right.
You know, and then I played A Link to the Past, and I remember thinking to myself, oh, well, this is easy. I know exactly where to bomb. It's just a matter of having the required items.
Right.
Which took a lot of the fun, because it took out the exploration part of the game for me.
As far as Dungeon Siege 2, yeah, that's kind of crappy. But the blue dots, you have to sit and look at the minimap to see them. They're real small and real faint. So if you did not want to know where the secrets are, you could quite easily not pay
attention. What resolution are you playing at?
Well,
1280?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably why, though. What if you played it like 800 by 600?
You cannot play that game at 800 by 600.
Really?
The interface does not scale.
Oh, right, okay.
So your dude's windows end up being like half the fucking screen at 800 by 600. You can't play like that.
Yeah, I guess not.
But no, you have to, at least I mean, maybe my vision is just that crap, but the blue dots are very small and rather faint, and you have to look to see them.
Still, they're there, and
yes,
they show you.
But I don't bother looking at them. I purposely do not look at the blue dots.
I would. I know I would because they were there. I wouldn't really help myself. It's like having a dead pixel on your damn laptop screen. That's the only thing that I ever see. So I know I would look at it. I cannot wait to read this next email. I can't wait. This is going to be awesome.
Then don't.
It's about the Dukes of Hazzard movie. Yeehaw! The movie event of the summer, as the trailer says anyway. This is from Big Boy. Hey guys, movie review in the making. This is about the Dukes of Hazzard movie. I believe you rate it by money. Yes, we do. So I give this movie maybe $2. I have
more than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, man. I have the Dukes of Hazzard DVDs on the old show, and these are cool. So they ruined the frickin' show by this movie. It is an embarrassment to the show. Dude, Boss Hogg is a big and fat and... Wait, is big and fat. And Burt Reynolds, that was in case nobody knows, Burt Reynolds plays as Boss Hogg in the movie.
Right.
Burt is a skinny little guy. Let's see. Let me try to read it. Boss Hogg is big and fat, and Burt is skinny ass. Reynolds is playing Boss Hogg. This is one problem. This will be a cool movie to the people who have never seen the old shows, but I'm from the South, Louisiana, and it's impossible to not see the old show. Moving on. Sean Willie wipe my ass. Oh, that's, what's his name? Sean William Scott or something? Sean Willie wipe my ass with Scott and Johnny lick my balls. Knoxville are horrible in this movie as well. They suck no matter what. They don't even look like Luke or Bo. Daisy is played by Jessica Simpson. Damn, she is a bad actress and should stick with singing. Willie Pothead Nelson plays Uncle Jesse, but he was okay. Overall, the story sucks. The movie sucks. I can't even begin to read this dude's last name. Jay Chandrasekhar, whatever, deserves to be slapped. So to sum up my rant, Don't go see it. It sucks. Now, I even heard somewhere, I think I was listening to the radio on some radio show that plays, like, locally around this area that I can't stand, and I refuse to name them. They were talking about this one day.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, like, I don't listen to it, but I'm forced to hear it without, you know, wanting to, and so I try to listen to other crap, but once in a while, their shit is loud. And I heard them say, I could have sworn that the original Luke and Bo watched this movie and absolutely hated it. And I can understand. I can see them just being like, yeah, fuck that movie.
As for the actors looking like the actors from the show, I don't think that matters in the slightest.
That's not an issue. Yeah, no. As long as one's got blonde hair and one has brown hair, that's as close as you need to be. However, Boss Hogg needed to be a fat guy. He did not need to be Burt Reynolds, I don't think. He needed to be a fat guy. You've never seen it, so you can't talk, all right? Boss Hogg is this short, fat, portly, pig-looking motherfucker who's an asshole. Okay, and then you throw Burt Reynolds in there. I don't see that. Willie Nelson? Uncle Jesse written all over him, though. He was born for that part.
Well, Willie Nelson has to be in just about any movie remotely like that. It's mm-hmm. just, until the day he dies, it's just the way it is.
He's gotta pay his taxes. Definitely. But, I don't know. I have to see this movie. I must. And it's not because I'm drawn to it, because I think it's going to be awesome. It's because I used to watch that when I was a kid.
Which is ridiculous.
When I say a kid, I mean I was like between 5 and 8. I used to watch it at my grandma's house, and so I know I was between 5 and 8. And, was bad then, okay?
I've seen like 5 minutes of any given episode that I've ever actually seen. I can't watch it.
You know,
I can't do it.
The first birthday present I remember ever receiving, I think I was 3 years old. And it was like a little Hot Wheels, like, fold-out city of, like, whatever the hell, of Hazard County, of part of it, though. And I remember having a little General Lee fucking die-cast Hot Wheels car and shit. And I loved that shit.
No.
Yeah, I know. But it was fun, though. I had to been, shit, I was, let's see, I remember the house I lived in, so I was 2 or 3. The year after that, though, so I was, well, no, that had to been 2. No, that can't be right. It had to been, like, almost 3, maybe 3. Then the year after that, though, I got what turned me into what I am today.
Right.
I got the old Coleco handheld mini arcade size Ms. Pac-Man deal. And it was over. From that moment on, it was over. I went from cars and rednecks and the good old boys to video games. At that moment, that's where my life had changed. I know it. I know that's where I strayed. That's where I went.
Straight, nothing.
Dude, I was born in a place like that, okay? I was born in the country, I swear to God. Out in the sticks. It was bad. It was ugly. It could have gone horribly wrong. Right now, if I was, holy crap, how I should have turned out, we wouldn't be doing the show. I'd be working on a car somewhere. My car. Working on a mock-up with a General Lee somewhere.
Thank you, Grandma.
No, that was from my mom.
Oh.
That was from my mother, yeah. Both of those, as a matter of fact. But like I said, I was pretty into the Dukes of Hazzard. I was like, well, maybe that was younger than I thought then. Because if I remember getting that at 2 or 3 and being pretty jazzed by that little Hot Wheels thing. That's awesome. Let's see. Uh-oh. Competition for the crown. The huge email crowd. Robo-Christian strikes back a cushion for last week's email. Hey, C4 and Kobor, I wanted to say thanks for the suggestions you guys gave me in episode 94. I've been gathering some data on the Phantasy Star series and also had the Front Mission series recommended to me by a friend. However, I haven't gotten to look into either yet due to an RPG I sniffed out on my own that may not be futuristic, but caters to an end-of-the-world setting. You ready for this monster of a title? I've heard of this. Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne. And you know, the only reason I've heard of this is from...
Actually, I think I have too.
Yeah. Because when I originally heard about this, it was brought up to me by Fujikoma X. That was the only time I think I'd ever heard anybody really mention that game. So that's what it was, yeah. And it sounded great, I just never looked around to get my hands on it. So I don't know what my problem is. I was probably sucked into EverQuest 2 or some crap at the time. But let's see. Nocturne was published by Atlas for the PlayStation 2 and released last October in limited quantities. To the point where I had to cross state lines to the most ghetto-ass GameStop on the East Coast for a new, that's in quotes, copy of the game complete with GameStop's lovely price stickers that are impossible to move without fucking up the case.
I hate that crap.
There's another 2-disc DVD case that needs replacing. I know, me too. And it's nice to hear that somebody else is just as pissed off about that kind of shit as I am. We actually had a conversation about this on the forum about DVD cases. Anyway, in Nocturne, you are a high school student who, due to the lack of a voice track, you name as you wish, and attends school in, you guessed it, Tokyo. Shortly after the game starts, the world as you know it ends, and your character wakes up in a formerly cult-controlled hospital to discover he's now been granted demonic powers and is told he has the power to either save the world or destroy it. Now, that sounds, one, fat, two, like every anime I've ever seen. Graphically, the game isn't much to speak of. Utilizing what I'm going to say is a cel-shaded style that's been pretty well refined so as to still give you the feel of a Hell Control world. Music I've found is excellent and well varied. You've got tracks ranging from eerie cathedral-like ambient chanting, that is fat, by the way, I dig on that, to some soothing jazz tracks, right up to rock electronic battle themes. It's all great stuff that can be easily sampled by listening to the game's packed-in soundtrack CD. Bonus points to Atlas for that. However, in-game, the music sounds like it was mixed at a low bitrate, so when you're actually playing the game, it sounds a little hazy. Nocturne is advertised to have 50-plus hours of play and a completely open story. Though, whether it's you're totally evil to help out the bad guys or just saving the world for different reasons remains to be seen. More on that as I progress through the game. Notably, Nocturne features some hell-across promotion in the fact that Dante from Devil May Cry is in here in the game as well. He's brought into Nocturne on a job from one of the characters to kill you. As you progress, Dante can either be your enemy or a member of your party, depending on how you play.
Huh.
How fat does this game sound all of a sudden? You know, not just because of Dante, because of everything he said. It should be noted that there is a sort of Pokemon aspect to the game in that as you encounter demons in a battle, you can either fight and kill them or try to convince them to join your party and fight with you. Of course, this is a task easier said than done. While some demons might be eager to join you, others are not so easily swayed, while some are so primitive they don't understand your attempts at negotiations and keep attacking you. Also, if you're wailing on a group of enemies... sorry, do you know why I stuttered over that? I had the paper bent just right to reflect my voice back into my ears, and it sounded really weird. Also, if you're wailing on a group of enemies, some will beg for mercy and either offer you cash items or their allegiance. Overall, it's a great game that I'm having a blast with. I definitely recommend this to anyone who was in my situation, looking for a less fantasy RPG, or hell, to anyone who likes RPGs in general. Good luck hunting it down, though. And you know what? I am really going to have to keep my eyes open for this because it sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds spectacular. Quickly, I'd like to touch on something brought up by Kobar following E3, that developers are using the horsepower or current and future hardware to push mostly graphics instead of using it to enhance gameplay, beef up AI, etc. Looks like Capcom was listening. At Xbox Summit 2005, they revealed another survival horror game called Dead Rising, where the main selling feature right now is they're using the hardware to push hundreds of character models on the screen at time without lag. Unlike Resident Evil, Silent Hill, and their ilk, the game looks to be taking on more of a humorous feel, as the trailer shows the character running around a department store, picking the most absurd items off the shelf and beating the snot out of zombies with them. Another shot shows the guy holding a zombie by its legs, spinning it around, using it to mow down hundreds of others. That sounds all. You know what that sounds like? It's like the logical progression of, like, Evil Dead games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I was thinking, department store, S-Mart. Dead Rising looks very entertaining from the trailers and might be something worth looking toward in the future. That's it for this one. I try to keep it short, but my fingers just won't stop. Take care, guys. Robo Christian. Thanks so much for that email. Very well written, too. I stumble over less, the ones that are, you know, punctuated well, too.
Right.
That was pretty awesome. That's why I wanted to put out my scripts for me having issues, like, in my head. Now, we actually did have things of our own to talk about. Believe it or not, after so much awesome email this weekend, some really damn cool topics, and the best part was mentioning things that we even want to talk about. That was cool, too, because that sucked up part of our little notes here for further in the show. But that brings us to an expansion pack for a game that I was really looking forward to. Even though I haven't played the game in a long time, the game was a blast when I played the original. This is Warhammer 40,000 Winter Assault. Now, the Warhammer 40,000 game was called Dawn of War, and I played the crap out of it for a good little while. Not as long as I did something like, say, Warcraft 3.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say it was a bad game or anything. It just didn't have the... I think really what it came down to was the community support behind it that I wanted to see.
Right.
Like, as far as something like Enfos. And all these new crazy, ridiculous maps are what I was kind of looking for after I got through, like, some of the campaigns and played a little bit of the multiplayer, you know? Warcraft 3 lived on because of some of the cool maps it had and stuff. And I mean, it's there now, but it wasn't at the time, so I kind of fell out. But this is an expansion pack for Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War called Winter Assault. They added, the usual expansion pack type of stuff, which I have to give them props on. At least they did a decent job, but I do feel they're cutting it a little bit short. Let me read off our little feature list here. The new race is called the Imperial Guard. This race is focused on defending and ranged attacks.
Okay.
So that might be really good for somebody like Hunter, who fucking sucks monkey balls at RTS games. It's pathetic. He turtles. He uses the turtle method. He builds like 40,000 turrets, sucks his one gold mine dry, and tries to sit behind it and not die.
Right.
And that doesn't work, because you always lose when you're doing that kind of stupid shit. As long as I have one kind of siege weapon, it's over for you, you know? But if you have, you know, some nice defensive stuff and some serious range where you don't have to get in hand-to-hand all that often, it might do pretty good for you. That's the Imperial Guard as the only new race. It would have been nice to see some a little bit different things added to, but, you know, hey, they did what they could. Two new campaigns. Now, if I remember correctly, the campaigns for Dawn of War were pretty light. They were not as long, I think, as what everybody wanted.
Right.
So they added two whole new campaigns. Well, okay, it's one campaign where you play as either the good side or the bad side, order or disorder, and it's the same story. You just get to see it from two different angles, which is still pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, that still adds, you know, a whole lot to the gameplay. I really like the idea of seeing it from the other side, too. Yeah. I like that a lot. They added a couple new multiplayer maps, but they didn't add any new gameplay modes, which is perfectly acceptable to me. A lot of people freak out because they say, oh, you should have put this kind of gameplay in there. I don't know. You know what? Give me some new maps to play the stuff that works and that is good, and I'm usually pretty happy with that. They gave each race one new unit. The Eldar have a Fire Dragon, which is like an anti-vehicle type unit. Mm-hmm. The Space Marines get a Chaplain, which is a commander unit, which is pretty burly. The Orcs get something called a Mega Armored Knob. And I looked, it's not mob, it's knob with an N. And I think he was a burly melee unit. He was just supposed to be, like, able to tear shit up in hand-to-hand. And the Chaos, they get something called Khorne Berserker, which I have absolutely no freaking idea what that is. And I know that there's going to be players out there that have played Warhammer 40K and know everything about it, and they can tell me exactly what a Khorne Berserker is. It sounds like a melee unit that's super anti-personnel, though. Like, mega hand-to-hand ass kick, I guess. It very well could be some super tank type thing or whatever. I don't know. And what I think is really cool, I don't know why these kind of games, I look for this, but they added weather effects, snow and rain, you know, you're going to be able to hear thunder and all that crap. Now, it doesn't change the game any, which I understand. You know, hey, it's just new textures. That's cool. I mean, I've played Warcraft 3 maps using a different tile set, and it seems like a whole new freaking map to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really cool because it looks totally different, but there's no effect on the gameplay whatsoever here. It's not like if, you know, you're going to slide or something, or walk faster, or not have control of your units or something. Although that would be nice to see.
Yeah, I like the idea of say, snow causing your guys to move slower or...
Right, totally. They got to be more careful so they walk slower in the snow. Mud, same idea. You gotta walk a little bit slower. Maybe you can slip and a unit, you'll see him fall or something every so often. How neat would that be? I think that would be really cool to add to these kind of games. But overall, that essentially sums up the expansion pack, Winter Assault, for Warhammer 40K Dawn of War. I don't know how much this is going to cost, but if I remember correctly, it's only a few weeks away. And by a few weeks, probably looking at like 2 months, I would guess.
Right.
I would guess. I'm totally guessing, though. But I thought it was a few weeks they're spending on the last few bugs that they know of.
They tend to be about $30.
Right. Which, I think this sounds like about a $20 expansion at best. Mm. So, you know, it's hard to pass judgment on this because I don't have it, you know, yet. I haven't got my hands on it. I don't know if it's really, really fat or what. But it doesn't sound like more than a $20 expansion pack. So I hope they don't try to go for like $30. $25, the diehard crowd, I can see buying that. But I do not see me picking it up for more than, like, maybe even 15, because I still don't even play that game anymore.
Right.
Even though I should, because it was a hell of a lot of fun. They also changed up the interface for the multiplayers. Or for the multiplayer aspect. When you fire up your online browser to join a map, I guess they changed that around to make it a little bit easier to find the maps you want and everything.
Okay.
So, I mean, they're doing some good things to the game. They're adding to it. I just don't think that... they added enough.
Right.
I mean, and I guess I'm sure everybody feels like that, though. You know, you're like, oh, this game is so fat, they should have put in, you know, a whole other game worth of stuff. No, 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 that can't happen. It's expansion pack for a reason. But when you're charging half the price of the goddamn game, which is now like $20 anyway, how can you charge more for the expansion?
Right.
And you're not adding a quarter of what's there. That's why I have a problem with a lot of the price of expansion packs. They just don't seem worth the dollars, you know?
Right.
But I guess, in their defense, this does play to the fanboy. Because, you know, look at me. Paid $15 for the Doom 3 expansion. Didn't matter, because I had a blast, and it only took me, like, you know, 4 hours to blow through. You know, and I didn't mind paying that much. I had one gun that I hated and, like, 9 mechs. You know, look at the expansion packs for stuff like Heroes of Might and Magic 3. I paid entirely too much of those, but I had to have them the minute they came out. And then, oh, they released a collection pack? The complete set? I have them all, but I gotta have this too, you know, and I wound up with that, you know, so I guess I see where they're coming from, but,
Speaking of that, although it's off the topic, is there any more out on 5 yet?
You know, I've been looking, and in fact, I actually wanted to bring that up in this episode, and what ended up happening was I wound up on the phone with Hunter, and we ended up talking about it on the phone, what we already knew about it, instead of looking for new stuff,
mm-hmm.
which, so basically, I have nothing new about that, and I tell you what, it's going to be over for me when that game comes out. Because no, I don't think that you understand. You didn't know me when I played 2 and 3.
No, I didn't.
Between those two games, I've played them more than anything. Anything. 3 alone, I guarantee I put more hours into than I put into Final Fantasy XI and EverQuest 2 combined. Easy. Easy. I played that shit for 5 years almost every single day.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
It's a lot. I played that shit way too much.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was disgusting. I played it at home, I played it at work, I didn't sleep. That's all I did was play Heroes 2 and 3. It was disgusting. And Hunter was right there alongside of me for the half of 3 anyway. It was nuts. And he loves it just as much as I do. So he's getting juiced for this one. I ran out and bought 4, I pre-ordered it, got the fat version of it, and it sucked balls. I played it for like 4 days. And it was absolutely shit, and I was burned, and fans all across the world were crying. It was ugly. But hopefully they're going to do us right now, because now, you know, 3DO doesn't own that anymore.
Right.
Ubisoft has it now, so hopefully they're not going to fuck this up.
And they're some random development house is doing it.
Oh, for them?
Yeah.
Really? I did not know that. Well, hopefully they pay attention to the fans.
Ubisoft does not do all that much anymore. They're more
like EA. They have the money. Here you go. Put our name on it.
But they are an Uber version of EA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all right.
They put out some
but
real
isn't
quality
stuff. Didn't EA just buy a whole bunch of their shit, though?
Yeah, there was this huge thing. Or, I don't know if they actually succeeded.
No, but they were trying to buy like 40% of their stock or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and Ubisoft was pissed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that now. Wow, that's weird. Because like, we talked about it and I forgot about it like right away because it just didn't make any more news after that.
Because to me, Ubisoft is one of the jewels of the production
they've done really
world.
Well. They've made some great shit, that's for damn sure.
Because they're not. They seem to be about the game, about the art.
Yeah, yeah.
As
no,
well
no, no.
As
they told us. I remember when they bought Heroes 5, and it was a huge thing on their forum. I remember their dudes posting on the forum saying, "We're not gonna fuck this up. Tell us what Heroes is supposed to be."
Mm-hmm.
And they listened. As far as I read, and I spent a good amount of time when I first discovered, you know, back when they got the label, I was really concerned because this is a franchise that I adore. I absolutely adore this franchise. So they paid attention, it seemed like. It seemed like they wanted to hear what we had to say and what we wanted to play.
And the best part of all is they don't seem to be afraid of taking a risk here and there to put out something that's not the formula.
Exactly. So let's hope that they don't let me down, because I will freak out if I have to wait till Heroes 6 for another chance at a decent Heroes game. I mean, I don't know what I'm capable of. And you know what's kind of sad? Part of me is like, it's too early for a new Heroes. Because I've got, like, a real life now, and I fear that it might end when Heroes comes out. It might be ugly. It might
just
be real bad.
Crush that fledgling real life.
Yeah. It's still in its infancy and young and weak and scared, you know, and I'm trying to nurture it and accept it, but I don't know. When heavy hitters like that, like, okay, fear is a heavy hitter.
Right.
Fear is something that has blown me out of my chair, but it will not disrupt my social life for more than a week or two. I guarantee fucking it.
Oh, yeah.
Heroes, we're looking at like 2 or 3 years is going to have to be sunk into this. I don't know what I'm capable of. It's going to be bad. I'm really afraid. I'm going to be toting my PC all over the state when I go anywhere just to play this game.
Well, I might have to pick it up just to get my ass trounced by you.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be any fun. I don't know if that's going to be fun, but I know Hunter and I are going to be playing, though. You might have to be there to be in the middle of the wars with us, though, so you learn and learn how to play. Because we know, we get the form. I mean, they're all the same,
right?
You know, but from what I've seen of your RTS, I don't know if you could handle turn-based.
Yeah, my skills are
not to dig on you too much. You just don't play those kind of games.
I did okay on that. We played three that one time, and I did okay.
Yeah, you did do okay. He had me on easy mode. I was being nice. So
yeah. No, I don't expect that. I'm sure you had the kid gloves on, but I did okay.
Yeah. A lot better than I thought, though. The way you talk about it, you sound like you're going to do terrible, like Hunter does. But no, you did good. This is a weird part of the show because I did not realize I did this. The only next three games that we have to talk about are id Software related. I did not realize that happened.
It's Carmack Corner!
Yes, it is. Now, the very first thing I wanted to mention was Doom 3. Now, I know everybody's, oh my god, you still like that game. Yes, I do. It is a fantastic fucking game. And do you know what I played that made it even more fantastic? There's this mod out there called Classic Doom. And it is nothing more than remakes of the shareware levels of Doom 1, the Knee Deep in the Dead campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It was at version 0.56 when I got it. I don't know if they're going to update it between now and, you know, 3 days from now when the show airs. I doubt it. But they only have, like, two-thirds of the levels done or something. Or maybe one or two of the levels need to be done still, I guess. Like, because it ended on me. I didn't get to do, like, the last, like, level or two. I can't remember. It's been so long since I played Doom. But I'll tell you what. They changed almost everything, so it was almost exactly like Doom. I mean, you don't even have to reload your weapons anymore. Like you do, you know, like all these new games you do. Remember in Doom, you just had like 400 rounds and you could just shoot?
Right.
That's what this is. You know, you just have as many rounds as you have and you never have to reload. They even have like the little health bottle jar things, you know, they give you 1 point of health and the little armor pieces look like little helmets and they give you 1 point of armor. And they have the spheres with all the abilities and all that shit. And the armor looks the same and all that, but all decked out though. You know, right. It's like green armor. It is spectacular. Any fan of the original Doom owes it to themselves to check this out. They really do. The website, it's http://c, that's the letter C, like as in C4, cdoom.d3, like Doom 3, d3files.com/index.php. It's called Classic Doom. It was on version 0.56. I cannot express to you how awesome the level design was. Like, I kind of expected the levels to be laid out the same and some new textures slopped on.
Right.
You know, and the enemy's different because they're already in the game. But that is not at all what you get. You get fully redone levels.
Wow.
And they're exactly the same layout, but they're not like exactly the same looking, and like, you know, if you come across like a pool of lava or whatever the hell it is, you'll see like all the lighting effects that you would expect, all the crazy smoke and particle this and that, all that high-tech shit from Doom 3, and little scenes, you know, where it's like, you know, you come across around a corner and there's like bodies and shit and all this crazy stuff. It's all done up and all pretty. It is what the id Software crew would have put together had they done that.
Right.
I mean, it is that quality. It is
fan-fucking-tastic.
The way that you get some of, like, the items, like, when you first start, you know, you go to your left and there's that armor right there. You know, it's sitting on that pedestal. It's got this nice, like, air-sealed glass case over, and it, like, lowers down and makes all this crazy sci-fi noise of it opening up, and it's like, raises up out of the ground and shit, you know? It is really fucking cool.
Wow.
You know, they did an amazing job on this. You know, there's even a one part, I think in the second level, it's E1, M2, I'm pretty sure, where you're walking down that hall, whatever, and the door opens up, and you go outside and get the chain gun for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They redid it to where, like, you walk up to this wall, and it's like, you see, like, weird electrical shit going through the wall, because it's, like, all technoed out there, and then, like, it explodes, and there's this giant fireball, and sparks and shit everywhere, and now you have a hole to outside. So it's like, just like the original Doom, there's still that hole there, but it was, like, all done up. The wall just doesn't lower down.
Right.
It is really, really fantastic. I mean, they did a hell of a job. And it's neat seeing enemies that are pretty tough, too. Like, at least insofar as the AI. They still dive and roll a little bit, but I'll tell you what. After playing Fear, the AI for Doom looks absolutely fucking horrid. Horrid for Doom 3. But you know, at least it was a little bit tougher than them coming straight at you, like you're kind of used to from, you know, the original Doom. But it was so much fun. The only thing I can say is they might want to beef up the difficulty a little bit, because I think they balanced the weapons to how it was. So all of a sudden, like, I'm used to firing against the soldiers in Doom 3 with my pistol, and it takes, like, you know, a million shots to the head to take them out, instead of just, like, two. It seems like it was how it was back then. Like, I think they adjusted the guns. So I just whooped ass when I tore through that. Didn't die once, you know, but I have the levels memorized. I played them only, what, 75,000 times as a kid, so no big deal, but it was so fun to go through that again. And to see it all done up, because it's how a lot of us remember it in the first place.
Right.
You think back to how fat the game was. It wasn't like that, but you know what? In your mind, just the ghetto lighting effects they had back then don't look like that in your head anymore when you think about it.
Right.
You know, and because you're not used to that kind of crap anymore. But now it's like it should have been, and like you remember it, and it is spectacular. So I must highly recommend it. It's called Classic Doom, mod for Doom 3.
Very well.
Now, the other two were Quake-based news, and the first one is actually based, and I have to bring this up first because I saw the boxes for pre-order at the local Best Buy, so this is coming out pretty soon. The date for this is October 11th for the PC. Quake 4, $50 for the PC on October 11th, November 1st for the Xbox 360, $60. And there is going to be a special DVD version for the PC, also for $60. Now, I don't know what kind of extras and whatnot are coming, but they're supposed to be pretty cool. I'm sure it's going to be like a fucking soundtrack or something.
The regular is going to be CD, and you pay $50, but you have to pay $10 extra for the DVD version?
Yeah.
Ah!
That's pretty ghetto. However, depends on what those extras are, it might be worth it.
Well,
I want the DVD version anyway.
I was going to say, it's halfway worth it for just to have the DVD.
You're right.
I don't like how that's going. If the DVD ends up always being more expensive, why?
Yeah, that is kind of a bad idea. That is a very bad idea.
It's a bad precedent.
It is. It very is, and it very well is, and nobody else better be doing that. But I'm going to... Quake 4, now, okay, it does have a single-player aspect to it, right? Now, you're submarine, and you've, you know, not submarine, some marine, and you have, like... vehicles and all this crap. I guess you have a bunch of crap you can do now. Whatever about the single player. We're avoiding talking about the single player here, okay?
Okay.
This is a pure focus on the multiplayer aspect of Quake 4, because in my eyes, I'm sorry, Doom is the game for single player.
Right.
Quake is all about the multiplayer. It's just how it is, so there is no single player.
At least it has for quite a while.
Right.
I mean, the original Quake was...
Multiplayer, people still play that crap every freaking day. It's still super popular, but at least, like, to me, that was, you know, there was, you know, more multiplayer than single player there still. I did play through the single player, but the multiplayer was where it was at. It was just that much fun. But multiplayer for this, though, okay, this is being worked on by Raven Software. Everybody knows them because they remember shit like Heretic and Hexen, you know.
Raven's good stuff. They've done a lot of good stuff recently.
Yeah, they have, none of which I can name because I remember the old crap. But this is, I'm going to call this, this is using the Doom 3 engine, Quake 4, based on the Quake 3 engine, and I want to call this Quake 4, Keeping It Real. Because unlike some other games, like they have like Doom 3 tacked on the multiplayer, and it's just not there. You know, you get like 4 or 8 players per map, it's just not fast action paced. Quake 3 was about the pinnacle of multiplayer gaming there was, at least as far as first person shooter fragfests went anyway, right? So Quake 4 seems to be keeping that tradition. And if you look at the forums, though, holy God, there are people enraged at some of the things that they wanted to do that they brought up. You know, like, well, what if you're playing a mechanical guy or whatever and you use a weapon that causes, like, electric damage, it does more damage. People are freaking out. They're like, you cannot do that. And they say, well, what if we put in a alternate fire modes for some of the guns or all the guns? People don't want that. They're saying, fuck no, because Quake is all about just... grabbing whatever gun that you can find, and as fast as you can, blowing somebody out of the water. And I have to agree. Mm-hmm. Quake is just about, like, the pure speed adrenaline rush. It's not fucking Unreal Tournament. It's a different kind of multiplayer fragging.
Right.
Now, another aspect I like about this is that it's going to focus on the single play, on single player deathmatch killing. Like, essentially. It's more like... you're the man, not you and your team, like all this Battlefield 2 crap and Counter-Strike garbage, okay? That's not to say they don't have Capture the Flag. It's there. Mm. But it's, you know, focuses on that one man against everybody just whooping ass. So I'm pretty pumped about that. They even have a tournament mode where you have, like, a ladder system, you know, where it's like, eight dudes and the last guy gets eliminated or whatever, then you have like or matches of two, one guy versus one guy. Right. Whoever loses is out, the next guy moves on to the next tier. So then another match plays. Now, what do you do while you're waiting? You can run around in a practice arena, or you can spectate the other guys playing. So you can sit there and watch, either when you're eliminated or while you're waiting for your next round. Hmm. So that sounds really, really cool. There's no vehicles, no, you know, there's none of the, just think no current team-based multiplayer stuff is in there. You know, the weird scoring they have with, you know, you get X amount of points for this and that. You can't heal your fucking teammates. There's no, none of this assisted damage crap. Mm-hmm. No. Who got the kill shot? I did. I get the 1 point. Right. That's how this, and that's how this game needs to be. I'm really excited if they do this right.
Sounds pretty good.
It does. I even have a weapons list for this. Check this out, okay? Oh, and it keeps track of your stats, too. Like, for the end of the round, it'll say what gun you were accurate with, how many people you killed with, whatever you were killed by. Most of these games are kind of going for that. I don't know if this is keeping it for, like, your entire career playing, you know, like, online on a server somewhere or just for the one match.
It should.
It should. It really, really should. That is a good thing. But I did find the weapons list. You have a gauntlet, your standard no-ammo type punch the guy with, like, your blade hand thing. Mm-hmm. A machine gun, which is your basic weapon you start with, a little, you know, fast-firing stupid crap you had before. You have a hyper blaster. Essentially, it's the machine gun that does a little bit more damage and doesn't have zoom. You have a shotgun. You have a nail gun, which is, oh, so quick. You have a grenade launcher, a rocket launcher, lightning gun. Wait, I skipped one. Rail gun. You have to have that too, because it's all about giving somebody with that rail gun. And the lightning gun, which is sounds about like how you remember it, where it's just like it shoots out like this stream of electricity and you have to kind of keep it focused on them.
Right.
And then you have something called a dark matter gun, which I'm not quite clear on the specifics of that yet, but I imagine BFG-style ass kick.
Right.
Probably suck people in or whatever. I don't know, but it's probably going to be pretty awesome. I am really looking forward to the multiplayer end of this game, and we're going to have to go over the single-player stuff at some other point because I didn't care. Because there is something else based in the Quake world that's coming out called Enemy Territory Quake Wars, also using the Doom 3 engine. There's no release date yet, supposedly sometime 2006. The website is enemyterritory.com. They have like a little trailer there. Not a whole lot really going on. It's basically, it takes place before Quake 2 with, like, the war between the Strog and the humans. It was like the Strog invasions on Earth, right?
Right.
And that's basically where it picks up. It's, like, basically before, like, the events of, like, Quake 2.
Okay.
Where you just, like, were the one man to save it all, right? This is the war that went on. And all I can say, like, as far as gameplay is just imagine you're playing Battlefield 2. You know? Okay. Because now you're fully squad-based. You're all about your teammates now. You know, you've got vehicles. You know, you're going to have all your weird classes and shit. You know, you're probably going to have, like, engineer-type guys. You're going to,
right.
I mean, just think it's going to be along those lines, but not, like, real war. It's going to be a little bit of sci-fi with a little bit of, like, probably a little bit futuristic human stuff. You know, like, human war. Like, we're going to have our helicopters and our tanks and our boats and jets and all that crap. But you're going to be fighting against the Strog, which you can play that side also.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, depending on what you like to see, you can be flying their weird version of a helicopter and dropping their funky-looking bombs and using their creepy... They have, like, mechs and shit for their vehicles. How cool is that? Humans are going to be stuck in their tanks still.
Mm-hmm.
So...
That sounds kind
of
cool.
It does sound like a lot of fun. It really does. I don't know how well this is actually going to go over, though, using that Quake name. You know, I think it's going to... People are going to say, oh, this is Quake, and they're going to buy it, and they go, oh, this isn't what I wanted. You know,
well, and that's why they have Quake 4.
And they need to make sure they pick that up first and be very clear on what they are buying. Yes, because Quake 4 should be out October 11th, which, oh, my God. See, between Fear, Quake 4, and Heroes, I'm screwed. I'm going to have to play these games. I don't care. They're all PC games.
Which is good.
Well, that is good, but I feel that I've been neglecting my consoles a bit, and I've discovered why.
Mm.
I have a really hard time playing anything single-player anymore on my consoles.
Right.
I did not realize that. I didn't know why I played so few console games in the last, like, 5, 6, 7 years even. It's been a long time. Like, I'll play them, but not much. Very, very little compared to my PC. And I have a hard time playing it single-player, yet I have a hard time hot seat multiplayer, like, in the same house playing on a PC. I can't do it. Yet, a console multiplayer with people in the same room is fatness. Still, I've had a chance to relive some of that, and I remembered why I like playing console games still so much. So, what the hell is that called? Enemy Territory Quake Wars.
Right.
Should be very interesting, especially for the crowd that really liked, like, Battlefield-style type stuff, you know? So that should be interesting.
Yeah, like I said, the idea of that stuff is really awesome to me. It just doesn't really ever play out quite right.
Right, right. So and I it's imagine a shame. It's going to be no different here. And it's going to be shame. No different. In fact, it'll probably be worse because you're going to have probably like maybe a little bit younger generation.
Well, plus you'll have all those Quakeheads here. It's like,
exactly.
Gotta get it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, totally. Exactly. That could go very wrong. Now, as far as movie news, we have to take a different approach to our movies here. So, what we're going to do, remember we were trying to do our set up our preview stuff and then what we actually saw stuff, we were working on that.
Right.
As far as previews go, coming out, and you're going to love this weekend on Friday, this is, what the hell day is this? The 19th? Is that Friday this week?
I think so.
August 19th, this Friday, coming out this week is two movies that I don't know
much about.
Yeah, like seriously, like I've never even really heard of them. There's a movie called Red Eye coming out. And like the dude in it looks like the guy who played Scarecrow in Batman Begins. Mm-hmm. I imagine that's him. And what was this movie about? I'm so tired of talking. How come I talk the whole fucking show?
This movie was about a red-eye flight in the middle of the night. And this chick is there and she sits next to some dude. And apparently he is like a killer or something.
He's out to assassinate like the department, like the head of the Department of Defense or something. Yeah, he's like on that flight or whatever the hell.
The trailer we watched, like 3/4 of it looked like a chick flick, and then all of a sudden you realize, well, no, wait, it's a horror film. But it looks not all that appealing to me personally.
Me neither. But, me neither.
If you like Wes Craven, because that's who it is, maybe you might want to check it out.
Right. Yeah. Like that's probably the sole reason I would want to check this out. Just to see what kind of creepiness he puts into it, you know?
Mm-hmm. The other movie coming out this Friday is The 40-Year-Old Virgin, which
I'd never even heard of until today.
this looks like it might be entertaining. The star is the guy from
Anchorman.
Yeah, he's
Rick.
He's an Anchorman. He's in
The Office.
Right, that TV show that no one probably saw.
Probably not. The U.S. version of The Office.
Right. He was also in...
Look how cultured we are. We know that there was a UK version of that. See, people should be impressed with us. Wonder how we know stuff like that. Thank you, BitTorrent. Just kidding, Mom, Dad.
He was also in the God movie with friggin' Bruce Almighty.
Was he?
Yeah, he was the guy that...
Oh,
that
right,
Bruce
right,
made
right,
go,
right, right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that was Mick. Yeah, that's right. That's right. He was. Okay, okay.
So that guy, he's in it, and basically, he's a 40-year-old virgin, and his friends find out about this and say, whoa, no. Okay. And basically, the whole movie is about them trying to train him to be a ladies' man, and he goes to, like, one of those round royal dating things.
Like
where
the
you
speed
get,
dating
right,
thing,
right, where
yeah.
you get, like, 5 minutes to meet someone.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. And it looks like it might be mildly entertaining.
I think you could not have put it any better. Because it doesn't look like it's super fantastic funny. But it doesn't look like it's a complete waste either. Yeah. Because I was even laughing at some of the stuff in the trailer. But like the whole idea of it is just kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't know. So we shall see. But that comes out. Those both come out this week. This Friday. Yeah. So if you've got nothing to do in the next 2 days, look forward to those on your weekend.
I also watched yesterday, in fact, Kung Fu Hustle. Now, this movie...
Sounds ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Is it? I don't even know what it's about. I've never heard of this.
That's flat out the point of this movie, is that it is ridiculous, crazy crap. It is basically a live-action Looney Tunes cartoon. It's essentially about... There's this gigantic gang called the Axe Gang. And they're basically just absolutely ruling whatever Chinese town this is, and they end up going to this slum that was like Pigsty Alley or something it was called, and basically they decide to make trouble, and all of a sudden turns out three of the most uber kung fu masters ever lived live in this Pigsty Alley because they just like wanted to get away from the whole scene, and all the kung fu. I think they're making fun of Wire Fu in this.
Right, right.
Because it's like Kung Fu on such a ridiculous scale that it's not even funny. I mean, well, it is kind of funny. It's supposed to be a comedy. I laughed a couple times. And there's no real plot beyond that. It's just kind of showcasing crazy kung fu. There was this really cool scene while this couple of blind Chinese, are they called Chinese mandolins? The table looking things where there's the strings on them. You know what I'm talking about?
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
I think it's called the Chinese mandolin, but I'm not sure. Anyway,
you can get Wolf on the phone.
They use it as a weapon. They strum it, and invisible swords come out.
Whoa.
And, like, there's just one part where you can actually see the swords, and two of the kung fu guys are, like, dodging the swords and doing all this. It was pretty cool. I suggest watching it. Maybe a rental. I'm going to give it, like, $4.
Really? It's got rental written all over it.
It was entertaining, but I sure as hell wouldn't have. I would have been mad if I'd spent $8.75
on it. Okay, right, okay. Interesting. I don't even see me picking this movie up for a rental. So if I'm going to watch it, it's going to be because you supply it, because I do not see me paying for this.
It was not a waste of an hour and a half.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. Okay.
I enjoyed myself. It wasn't as funny as I think it was trying to be, but I'm also not Chinese. it came out in China.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I thought this was mega Hollywood.
No.
Oh, I did not know that. Yeah, okay.
You had to either read the subtitles, or I turned on the American dub.
Right.
Because I didn't want to have to
sit. Oh, no, I really don't want to watch this. Sorry, Wolf.
Oh, was he saying you should
watch
it?
No, he didn't say anything about it, but like, I talked to him on the phone the other day for the first time in like 7 months or something. Yeah, he just called out of the blue right the minute I got back from SEC last week. Just like, bam, phone ring. I was like,
homesick?
No, he's loving it. He's just like, I don't care, I'm staying. This is great.
He likes being in Red China.
So, yeah. But, you know, whatever. I guess he's got a lot going for him. So we need to get him back on the show, though. It's been a long time. Need to make it clear to hear him, though.
Hear him talking about how when his head gets hot.
Yeah. We're done for this week. The last two things that I didn't get to mention any time on was, I'd say if there was any music to check out this week, I would like to recommend the band Killswitch Engage, which if you look on the site in the bottom right-hand corner, I've got that little, you know, recommend listening random. What it is purely random stuff that I've never either heard of or just happened to be listening to a lot that week. I don't care. Hey, maybe, you know, you might like to see some new music. Hey, there's an idea, something you've never heard of. Okay. Check it out. I've been listening to, I think it's their latest album. It's actually some pretty good stuff, and I don't like that kind of music, and there's a few songs on there that I actually really like.
This is that screaming,
Slipknot. Yeah, but it's like slower
stuff.
Type, though. This is like, this like, it has its ridiculousness, then it like cools down at some points, though. So it's like, at least I can tolerate it.
Right.
I don't dig on that craziness all the time stuff. That's just stupid. And the GeForce 7800s, NVIDIA GeForce 7800s, we're going to have to talk about that soon.
Okay.
Like, probably next week, because apparently they're popping up all over. And it seems to me that we had a hard time getting our hands on, like, the 6800s when they were out.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, these 7800s are everywhere. So that's a lot of money that everybody's going to have to cough up for new video cards.
Right.
By next week, I expect you all, your homework is to come home with a 7800 GTX. Alrighty?
Peace. Later.